there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's Thanksgiving week, but there's still plenty of football left this season. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Ryan Warmly. I'm the social media coordinator here, and joining me for today's episode are a couple of standout guests. First up, somebody I've missed getting to podcast with the last couple of weeks as he, I don't know, took a relaxing vacation or something. I'm not exactly sure what it was. It's Fantasy Pros analyst Kyle Yates. Yates, did you catch up on some rest during your time off?
Yeah, because when you have a newborn child, rest is the first thing that happens there. No, that is not the case. But I am ready to roll. I am hyped up on some caffeine, got the coffee in me, ready to talk some rest of season outlook. Is this like our last trade show of the season? Do you know?
I think it might be. I was talking to our producer, and we're going to shift starting next week into a little bit more of a dynasty mode for these Tuesday shows, which I know will be exciting to you. Our other guest is probably also wishing he was sleeping right now because I just found out he's coming to us from the West Coast, so I appreciate him joining us bright and early. One of the smartest people in fantasy football and betting, and according to his Twitter bio, a top 5 most accurate ranker in 2019 and top 11 in 2020, it's Action Network's Chris Raybon. Chris, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us so early, and are you on pace to match your high accuracy finishes so far this year?
I don't know, guys. I might be regressing to the mean, so we'll have to see how it goes, but thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Of course, and as always, I want to make sure that the listeners can find the three of us online. Yates' Twitter handle is at KyleYNFL. Chris is at Chris Raybon, that's R-A-Y-B-O-N, and I can be found at Ryan Warmly. That's Warmly like how you dress when it's cold outside. And of course, you can find Fantasy Pros all over the internet at Fantasy Pros. You can also find us at fantasypros.com/myplaybook, of course, and there you can sign up for our entire suite of tools to help you dominate the 2021 fantasy season. That includes our trade analyzer, which allows you to get instant analysis for any trade offer. We also have a trade finder that can do the heavy lifting in your negotiations. And yes, the trade analyzer does take into account your dynasty considerations. So as you move into the part of the year where you have to reevaluate your long-term plans, the trade analyzer can still make your wheeling and dealing that much easier. You can also find us on the Fantasy Pros Discord server, which can be found at fantasypros.com/chat. Anybody can sign up for some good old-fashioned fantasy football chatter, but remember, premium subscribers gain access to dozens of extra channels, including AMAs with analysts like Joey P, Dan, and of course Yates when he's not on baby duty. You can also get advice from fellow fantasy fanatics, and we even have extra channels for other non-sports topics. Fellas, we've got that out of the way. Let's jump into Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football Recap.
wasn't quite as exciting as Sunday Night Football was this week among the primetime games. Bucks 30, Giants 10. Let's start on the Giants side, and Chris, I'll start with you. Saquon Barkley, 6 rushes, 25 yards, 6 catches, 31 yards. He did play a decently high percentage of snaps. Did you have any major takeaways in his return to the field?
Yeah, I was right in August when I told everyone to not to draft him.
I think that's fair. How low were you on him?
Oh, I was like, he was like outside my top 12, I believe, if you finish. Oh, wow. Like he was out there. Like I just, because my argument, and you know, there's still, you know, a handful of games left to be played, but my argument was essentially, number one, we don't know exactly when he'll be ready. Because remember, it was like he might have missed week one and two, I think, coming into the season. It was all these things. But number two, even when he's on the field, there's no guarantee that he's going to be a week in, week out consistent elite running back. And that's what we've seen so far. And if you look at some of his games, even before this season, he had games where he would run for like 2 yards and 10 yards and 8 yards. And I think last night it was 26 or something like that. And that's just a mixture of defenses, you know, not really respecting their passing game and their offensive line not being very good in run blocking. And so we're just seeing more of the same. And he actually stayed healthy for that full game. And he still had a pretty bad game. Now I know it's against a good Bucks run defense, so hopefully he'll have better days, but now you run the risk of like, okay, he gets a good matchup next time around, but can he get through the game? So just a frustrating season for Saquon.
And of course, before the injuries, the Bucks defense was considered one of the top rushing defenses in football. Just does need to be mentioned. Yates, Kadarius Toney, are you taking more away from the just 40 yards or from the 12 targets?
I think with Kadarius Toney, like, it's encouraging the usage there. And this was something that I wanted to see with Kadarius Toney was with Kenny Golladay on the field, what is the target share split? What does that look like? Now, the yardage wasn't there. The offense wasn't exactly spectacular for the New York Giants last night. So I'm not taking a ton away here. But with Kadarius Toney, this is something that I wanted to see because I did have questions. Now, I still have questions moving forward of when Sterling Shepard is active and healthy. What does that target share look like? But for right now, you have to be encouraged at least by the target share for Kadarius Toney.
Wait, you guys are telling me Kenny Golladay was on the field last night?
Right.
hard to news believe. To me. Yates, I'll stick with you on Leonard Fournette. 10 rushes, 35 yards, 6 catches, 39 yards. Almost a similar line to Saquon Barkley there. He was vultured for the touchdown by Ronald Jones.
Right.
He's somebody that has gotten a ton of work in the red zone early on this season. He was, a couple of weeks ago, I'm not sure if he still is, he had the third most work behind only Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor. So is he somebody that you're still confidently starting going forward?
Absolutely, and especially too when you look at the running back landscape right now, like for a guy who's getting that amount of work, and yeah, the seeing Ronald Jones vulture that touchdown, that's disappointing, but moving forward, I have very little concerns about Leonard Fournette. He's a set it and forget it high-end RB2 every single week.
Chris, of the main receiving options that are healthy for the Bucks right now, all three of them had 6 catches, and they had between 65 and 73 yards. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin each had a touchdown. Rob Gronkowski did not. Are there any takeaways here, or we're just starting all three of those? Like, it, I mean, obviously we are, but is there a ceiling to them? Do you think they can get higher, or is there more of a floor once Antonio Brown comes back?
No, there's a pretty high ceiling and floor combination. I mean, even when Antonio Brown's in the lineup, let's remember that he's usually running a route about 2/3 of the time, whereas Evans and Godwin are on the field almost all of the time. And then Gronk, yeah, he's still kind of, you know, he'll also run a route, you know, maybe 50 to 65% of the time. But his chemistry with Brady is just so good. And the tight end landscape is just so barren outside of those top few guys that in any given week, even, you know, running a route like 55% of the time, which I think is Gronk's season average, he can still be that tight end 6, tight end 7, you know, in projection. So I think those guys are fine. And, you know, even when AB comes back, you know, he's going to have to get a little more acclimated. But they just throw so much and they're so efficient that I wouldn't worry about either of those guys. I mean, especially Evans. I mean, this guy just, he catches a touchdown every week. Did you see his touchdown yesterday? I mean, that was just like the easiest. That was like a backyard. Like, I don't even think they needed to call a play. It was just like, Mike Evans, go to the end zone, and I'm just going to jam it in there. And, it's just a thing of beauty with him.
Yeah, what is it? 8 straight years he's had 1,000 yards receiving to start
Hall
his
of
career.
Famer. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, as consistent as it gets. I saw that he had to like get the ball back that he gave away again for his record breaker. And then lastly, just Tom Brady. I mean, we don't spend a lot of time on quarterbacks on these shows. We're much more driven towards running backs and receivers, obviously. But I did just want to ask, Where are you guys ranking him? I'll ask both of you. I'll start with you, Yates. Where is Tom Brady just rest of season among the quarterbacks?
I think he falls into that mid-range QB1 territory, and he's staying there because you've had other guys fall off. Ryan Tannehill hasn't been performing well recently. Russell Wilson, Derek Carr has kind of fallen off. So he's staying there just based out of necessity. He's still putting up decent numbers here. That interception's not his fault, you know, that is credited up on the stat sheet there. So I think that moving forward, we just continue to view Tom Brady as a mid-range QB1 and feel really confident with him moving forward.
Yeah, Chris, 30 of 46, 307 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Do you agree with Yates?
Nah, I think he should be higher. I think he's in play for that QB1 every week, and that's even without rushing numbers, which is absurd, you know. That was another one, like, coming into the season, I think he was going behind, like, Aaron Rodgers, who else was it? I think Herbert and sometimes Hurts. And I was like, you know, like, we might look back and he might just make us look silly. Like, even at this, like, age 44, he might just make us look silly for, like, drafting these, like, other quarterbacks ahead of him. And sure enough, he's the QB1 right now in most scoring systems, like, in points per game. So, I think he's a high-end QB1 because you're seeing guys like, you know, Kyler is getting hurt. Is he going to be 100%? Herbert's a little inconsistent week to week. Hurts, you know, as good as he is, inconsistent sometimes week to week. Lamar Jackson now is going through some things and some injuries, and we, you know, every week he's got to have the record for, like, non-COVID illnesses. And then Josh Allen, it's like he's going through what Mahomes went through earlier in the year, but now defenses are kind of like, okay, we'll play 2 safeties back and make you kind of drive down the field. And Mahomes still isn't, like, you know, the Mahomes in terms of the numbers that we saw. Matthew Stafford, I mean, he's fallen off a bit too. It's like all these other quarterbacks have gotten figured out, but not Tom. So, yeah, he's in play for that QB1 spot for me every week.
Yeah, Lamar has got to stop eating that gas station Alfredo chicken. I mean, I don't know what he's doing.
Most traded players.
Guys, we've got over 1 million teams synced to our My Playbook tool, so don't forget to sync your leagues for free and get access to great tools like our cheat sheets, league power rankings, start sit assistants, and more. And in My Playbook, the trades are as interesting as ever. Our most traded running back this week is Alex Collins, just 36 yards on 10 rushes. He was vultured for the Seahawks' lone touchdown by DJ Dallas. Collins has had double-digit carries in 7 straight games, and we know now that Carson isn't coming back in that backfield, but Collins has also only topped 100 yards once. In fact, he's only topped even 50 yards once this season. Every outing except week 4 has ranged from 35 to 47 yards. So that's a lot of numbers. Yates, I'll start with you. Are you buying, selling, or holding on Collins right now? And where is he in his rest of season rankings?
It's super interesting. You sent over the names beforehand, and I saw Alex Collins as the most traded player, and I was like, oh, gross. Like, no, I don't want Alex Collins on my roster. But then you sit down and you say, okay, well, Chris Carson, like you mentioned, out for the year. And then Rashad Penny, I mean, a solid first carry, and then gets injured yet again. So it's like, it's Alex Collins in this backfield for the rest of the year. I think that he is one of these guys that is just going to continue to be a volume play. And in an offense that is not necessarily doing a ton right now, I don't know how valuable that is. So he is someone that is a low-end RB2, high-end RB3, and rest of season running back rankings for me. Someone that you can play week in and week out if you are in a pinch, but someone that I would prefer to get away from if I can.
Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I have him in a few weeks, and he's been plastered to my bench for like 5 of those last 6 weeks. And it really is an issue with the Seattle offense. And like, if he was in a better offense, and it sounds crazy to say that, but you've had Geno Smith there, and now Russell Wilson's struggling. So that's the issue, because with running backs, what's it going to come down to? It's going to come down to volume. And you look at his snap count, and while he's getting double-digit carries, his snap count the last 4 weeks has been in that like 39 to 47% range. Seattle runs about 4 fewer plays per game for some strange reason than any other team in the league. So they're at 55 plays per game. Second worst is Houston at 59. So Seattle's like way outside that standard deviation. You have a running back that's playing under half the snaps, and he only gets carries. He's rarely used in the pass game His, you know, routes run per dropback percentage is usually hovering in the 30s as well, 20s or 30s in terms of percentage as well. So, you know, in a standard league, I think he's a low-end RB2, high-end RB3, and then in half PPR, full PPR, he's kind of that mid-range to low-end RB3. Because as you head down that stretch run, you're just not going to get that consistency out of him. You're not going to know if he's going to get you just like that 10 carries for 36 yards, or if Seattle will actually, you know, find a way to hold the ball and run a normal amount of plays and have a positive game script, and then it'll get up to 60. And also, you're sharing with three other running backs, at least in, if, you know, depending on what happens with Penny. I mean, Homer, Dallas, and Penny also mix in there. So just a tough situation.
Throughout the show, we'll be offering trade comparisons that are pulled from our My Playbook data. These comparisons are some of the most popular accepted trades for all these guys since Sunday's games. And yes, as I always remind our listeners, these are all real trades that have actually happened. Yates, would you trade Alex Collins for Brandon Cooks?
Yeah, I prefer Brandon Cooks.
How about Collins for Devontae Smith?
Oh, I prefer Devontae Smith.
Chris, what about Collins for Rashad Bateman?
Bateman.
And then Collins for Michael Gallup?
Gallup.
Okay, so we're definitely down on Collins across the board. Next up is Myles Gaskin, coming off a productive day against the Jets with 89 rushing yards, also a touchdown reception. It was Gaskin's season high in rushing yards, and while he may not have the most daunting schedule moving forward, he does still have his bye on the horizon, which obviously becomes more significant the fewer weeks are left in the season. Chris, are you buying, selling, or holding on Gaskin? And where is he in your rest of season rankings?
I'll buy Gaskin in leagues that I am kind of in playoff position. Like if I'm, you know, looking good to clinch a playoff spot and I can handle that bye, I'm buying. He's a low-end, mid-range actually, to low-end RB2. Rest of season. As you mentioned, the schedule isn't too daunting. And he's a guy where, okay, you know, as opposed to Collins, you look at Gaskin snaps these last few weeks, especially since Malcolm Brown went down and it became a little bit more of a two-man backfield. I know Laird still mixes in on a few snaps here and there, but 63%, 58%, 72%, 61%, 74%. Gaskin also plays a good amount of the passing down. So his, you know, his targets have the last, you know, 7 weeks, 10, 5, 4, 4, 6, 2, 4, right? So totally different kind of running back. I would buy him as long as I could stomach the bye week, because, you know, he had a season high, not just in rushing yards last week, but also in carries with 23. He's had a 10-catch game. We saw him be productive week in, week out last week. Selvon Ahmed was the guy that we, you know, were maybe a little worried about challenging him. He was a healthy scratch last week. They called up Duke Johnson, who also didn't do much of anything. So this is Gaskin's backfield just as it was last season.
Yeah, I don't have any shares of Gaskin across any of my leagues, which is starting to look like maybe not the best decision for the playoff stretch. Yates, what about you?
I feel like every single week on this show, I've been like, sell Myles Gaskin, sell Myles Gaskin. Just get him off your roster, because at that point it was, we don't know what the consistency is going to be. And now we at least have a little bit of a track record where we say, okay, we've got a little bit of consistency here with Myles Gaskin. So if you're finding someone who's in your league who is completely just, you know, of the mindset that I have been all year, which is just get him off my roster and I'll take what I can get, then I think that if he's, you can acquire him as your RB3, RB4 on your roster as you make a deep playoff push, then I think there's value in that. But if you are acquiring him to be like your RB2 and locked in and you have like sky high expectations for him, I would just say like buyer beware.
Yeah, and I do think that it would be fair, maybe not to expect the Dolphins offense to take a leap in the second half, but to realize that it's a possibility that they start to look better just as Tua gets a little healthier and they all get a little more comfortable together. There's been so much like consternation there at the quarterback position that I think if things start to really settle down, you could see the offense start to operate a little more smoothly, which obviously means more scoring chances for him. Chris, would you trade Gaskin for Terry McLaurin?
No, absolutely not. I want McLaurin. I mean, no. Oh, trade him? Yeah.
You would.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I don't want Gaskin over Terry McLaurin. Okay, no, absolutely. Yeah, I'll give you McLaurin all day.
How about we'll aim a little lower? Gaskin for T. Higgins.
Oof. Depends on the team, but I would do it. But there's probably, it's probably more like 50-50. Like, usually I'm gonna need running back, so I'd say hold it and you know don't make that trade.
Yates, this is a more of a blockbuster one for you. Gaskin and David Montgomery for Nick Chubb.
I would prefer the Nick Chubb side of that, assuming that I have depth, right? Assuming that I have the depth to be able to withstand sending two running backs away at this point, which you most likely do not.
I was going to say, so you're saying no then, because nobody right. has depth.
No one has running back depth. But in a vacuum, I would prefer the Nick Chubb side of that.
Guys, it is Turkey Week, and Owner's Box has a special Week 12 Thanksgiving Thursday contest just for you. Be a part of the Thanksgiving action all day by entering a $5 lineup in their $2,500 Thanksgiving Fantasy Feast. It's a contest that you have to enter by 12:25 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday. Build a 9-player lineup from this Thursday slate of games only and win. And if you haven't already, you can use promo code DREW9, that's DREW9, for a free entry into their $25,000 Sunday Superflex contest. Enter up to 30 lineups and increase your chances of winning. Promo code is a one-time use only. And again, that's DREW and then the number 9. Our most traded wide receiver by far is actually DeAndre Hopkins. The Cardinals star hasn't played since week 8, of course, although he keeps not being ruled out until Sunday or later in the week. So it seems like he could be back soon, maybe. I have no idea. He definitely won't be back this week, as he also still has his bye week coming up in week 12 for him. But assuming he and Kyler both return in week 13, he does have a great schedule for the fantasy playoffs. As hard as it is to believe that we're already in the time of year where we have to think about the fantasy playoffs. Yates, I'll start with you again. Buying, selling, or holding on Hopkins? Is he close to a wide receiver one for you in your rest of season rankings?
Yeah, this is going to depend on what the price is for DeAndre Hopkins. Would I love to have Hopkins on my roster? Yes. Do I think that he's coming back soon after the bye week? Yes, I do. However, it's going to depend on what I have to give up to be able to acquire him. So I look at DeAndre Hopkins and yes, I would love to have him on my roster. I'm willing to send, you know, I'm viewing him as a high-end wide receiver too for the rest of the year because I do think that he's coming back as soon as the bye week ends here. I think that bye week's going to be crucial for him to get healthy. And I think that he'll have value moving forward. So yeah, as a high-end wide receiver too, but again, it's all dependent upon what I would actually have to give up to acquire him.
Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I'm buying because his price is at pretty much what's going to likely be a season low right now. Like, he hasn't played in a few weeks, and he even started the season off a little bit shaky. I mean, averaging 4.4 catches for 61 yards per game. You compare that to his first year in Arizona, 7.2 for 88 yards per game. He did score 7 touchdowns in 8 games, so he's still kind of the DeAndre Hopkins we know, but his price is at an all-time low, and yeah, he's probably a high-end wide receiver too, rankings-wise, but he has that, you know, top 5 upside still. So I'm buying him wherever I can just because you're not going to get DeAndre Hopkins at a lower price, maybe for the next couple of years even.
Yeah, and you have to wonder when everybody's healthy in that offense, just how many touchdown opportunities he's going to continue to get. Obviously, he is a beast in the end zone. That's one of the reasons why they went out and acquired him. You know, but we've seen James Conner leads the league in rushing touchdowns. Chase Edmonds went healthy. Kyler Murray likes to run it in. They have a bunch of different receiving options. So I would say to me, at least, that's sort of the one, like, well, I don't know how much of this is touchdown deodorant versus we're going to continue seeing him getting those very valuable touches. Yates, DeAndre Hopkins for Elijah Mitchell.
That's close. I think I would take DeAndre Hopkins.
How about Hopkins for Michael Pittman Jr.?
That's really close. I would take Michael Pittman Jr. I think they're right in the same tier.
Chris, what about Hopkins for Josh Jacobs and Pat Freiermuth if you need a tight end?
I would take it just for I want the Jacobs side. So I'm like, I would take it. I would trade him for just to get Jacobs because that's still a kind of week in, week out RB2.
Our last receiver on the most traded list is DJ Moore, who enjoyed Cam Newton's return to the starting lineup to the tune of 5 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown. He remains one of the most talented young receivers in football, but one who has been held back by the quarterback position in Carolina. I feel like we talk about this every week, but he still is on this list of traded guys. Is Newton going to help him take off in the second half? Chris, are you buying, selling, or holding on Moore? And where is he in your rest of season rankings?
He's kind of a low-end wide receiver, too. I'd sell on him, and it's nothing against DJ Moore. He might give you a good week against Miami this week, but it's just a little worrisome when you look at the schedule. So Miami, first of all, has decent cornerbacks, but you know they're not great against wide receivers. But then you have a bye. And you have Atlanta, another good matchup. So I think that's why people will kind of hold on to him, because you have those Miami-Atlanta matchups. But you have Buffalo after that. That's a really tough matchup in what could be your opening week of the playoffs. Tampa Bay, which, you know, they're starting to get things together. They might actually have healthy cornerbacks, you know, by the time they play him. And then you end with New Orleans, and that's a tough matchup for number one wide receivers as well. So, you know, it's kind of a situation where that buy kind of pushes me toward a sell to an owner that's kind of desperate and that really needs those like Miami Atlanta games more than they're worried about what could be a little bit of a tougher fantasy playoff schedule.
Well, and even Miami has played better defense in the last couple of weeks. Yates, can you give this former Terp some love? How are you feeling on DJ Moore?
Oh, I love the talent of DJ Moore for sure. And you look at Cam Newton and saying, well, it's weird that it took Cam Newton as a passer to get DJ Moore back to fantasy relevance. But I do think with DJ Moore, I'm going to side with Chris here, where he's kind of a hold or potentially a sell just based on that upcoming schedule. And it depends really where you are in your league standings, right? If you are a team that is locked into the playoffs, you look like you're going to be making it, and you have some other wide receivers that you can live with, then I think you're fine selling off DJ Moore and getting at least peak value at this point, depending upon or comparing it to what it was just a couple weeks ago. But otherwise, I would prefer to just hold on to DJ Moore. He's going to have value, right? He's going to be a low-end wide receiver too. You might have to adjust your expectations in that matchup up against Buffalo particularly, but I do think that he's still going to have value. But it's saying I'm holding him. It's not like his value is just going to completely fall off here, but it's dependent upon the price that I can get.
Chris, would you trade DJ Moore for Darren Waller?
Yeah, I'd want Waller.
How about Moore for David Montgomery?
Give me Montgomery.
Yates, Moore for a guy I've already asked you about, Elijah Mitchell.
I probably prefer Moore in that situation.
Let's move on to everybody's favorite segment, Buy Low and Sell High.
Buy Low, Sell High.
Remember, when offering and accepting your own trades, be sure to check out Fantasy Pros' suite of tools like the Trade Analyzer and Trade Finder to help you facilitate these trades and help you win your league. Chris, let's start with your number one buy low running back right now.
I think you got to buy Darrell Henderson. You know, he's a guy that he's still the lead back on a high-powered offense, and he's coming off a bye. It's been quiet, you know, for Darrell Henderson. And before that, they had some rough game script games where I think it was a little uncharacteristic. I expect Sean McVay to kind of right the ship. He has a good matchup this week. And you look at his season-long numbers, and he's still averaging, you know, about 83 yards total per game. He's averaging 17 touches. So that's still, you know, high-end RB2, low-end RB1 type usage there for him. But it's because you've had these, you know, two bad games and then the bye, you know, over the last 3 weeks. He really hasn't given owners anything in, you know, close to a month. So I think you can get him pretty low, especially, you know, if a manager's either fed up or they're just desperate. I think you can pluck him from an unsuspecting manager's hands here. But I think he's going to have a good close to the season. And his rest of the season schedule is pretty solid as well.
Yeah, still yet to reach 100 rushing yards in a game, despite double-digit attempts in every game except one. But obviously that usage is just so high. He's getting work in the passing game as well. Do you think he could be a true RB1 for your team going forward? Like, where would you put him rest of season?
Yeah, he's right on that fringe, but I do think he can be an RB1. It's just going to come down to like touchdown variance and things like that. But you look at his, you know, schedule the rest of the way, and you know he's got one of the best. You know, for the Rams, he's going against coming out of the bye, Green Bay, Jacksonville, Arizona, who's, you know, their run defense is worse than their pass defense, Seattle, Minnesota, who's another team that's kind of a run funnel, and then closes the season with Baltimore. So not really any prohibitive matchups in that stretch by any means for him. And he's been, you know, an RB1 for much of the year. It was just these last couple of games, really, where it fell off, because this is still an offense that's going to score a lot of touchdowns. And also remember, Robert Woods was getting, you know, about a couple of carries a game. You know, those probably get redistributed to a guy like Henderson, because you haven't seen, you know, Odell Beckham, Van Jefferson, even Cooper Kupp get those same type of carries in that McVay offense that Robert Woods did. So I think the arrow is pointing up for Henderson here.
Now, before we get to the trade comparison, Yates, I have a sneaking suspicion that you feel similarly to Chris here.
Yeah, as soon as he said the name, I started smiling because that is exactly the same player that I was going to point out here as a buy low running back. And it's really looking at what he has done over the past two games, right? He's got the bye week. So again, that plays into some fantasy managers' minds and expectations there. But the RB37 each of the past two games for him in half PPR scoring, and that really is dependent upon what the offense has done, right? The offense has taken a step back here over the last couple of games for LA, and I'm not expecting that to be the case moving forward. You take the bye week, it's Sean McVay. I have complete confidence in McVay and Matthew Stafford to be able to come into that bye week and say, what's wrong? How can we fix it? And they're going to come out. And this is, again, a team that is still looking to make a Super Bowl push. And I mean, they're going all in with Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. Like, they are looking to make a Super Bowl push. So they're going to figure it out. They're going to fix it. And right now, the value and perception on Daryl Henderson is that he has a low-end RB2, like, in that mindset. And right now, like you alluded to earlier, Chris, like, he's a high-end RB2, low-end RB1 the rest of the way, and he's got a very favorable schedule. None of those matchups that you mentioned are ones that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be sitting Daryl Henderson in, right? Like, you're going to be playing him in all these matchups. And for teams that desperately need a running back right now, Henderson has to be at the top of the list of the players that you're looking to acquire.
Chris, would you trade as far as Deontay Johnson for Daryl Henderson?
Oof, I would. Because I usually, again, need running backs more than wide receivers, but love Deontay. He's been so consistent. But if I needed a running back, which, like you guys said, most people do, yeah.
Yates, how about George Kittle for Henderson, assuming you have a startable backup tight end?
Yeah, if there's a startable backup tight end on my roster, then I will make that move. Running back is more valuable than tight end at this point.
Yates, you again, DJ Moore and Daryl Henderson for Aaron Jones.
I would probably take the DJ Moore and Daryl Henderson side of that, especially with Jones banged up.
Chris, same question. Aaron Jones for DJ Moore and Daryl Henderson.
Oh, that's not even close. You take Moore and Henderson. I mean, Jones's usage was trending down
right
even before he got hurt, and AJ Dillon has only made the case for more work. So it went from, like, you know, 65-70% of the work for Jones. It's, you know, now it's like 55%, and who knows when he comes back, and who knows if he's coming back, you know, as soon as they say he is. So yeah, you right. Got to take the Moore and Henderson side.
Now, I know the listeners are hoping to win some of the cool gear we're giving away with the help of our friends at Pristine Auction, but those aren't the only amazing deals over at Pristine Auction. They've got daily auctions with hundreds of cool swag items that are perfect for any fan cave, for fans or fantasy managers of any player. They guarantee authenticity, and just as important, it's affordable. Most people think cool gear like this is beyond their means, but the truth is, a lot of these items are much more affordable than you might think, including a signed jersey from breakout wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown for under $50. That was the price literally yesterday. They've got tons more on their site where it's quick and free to register and also free to bid. When you head to the site, enter Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field located at the top of the page. It's totally free, and when you use the code, you'll get a free $5 credit. So sign up at pristineauction.com today. Again, that's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Chris, let's move to your sell high running back.
It's actually two running backs, but you'll see why. It's Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. And it's for the exact reason that you kind of have to mention them together. In Harris's first game back, those guys split the snaps pretty evenly, split the touches. And New England's got the most difficult remaining season schedule, according to 4-for-4 schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed. And they also have the bye. So you're talking about a Belichick backfield that's splitting carries between two guys, with the third back also mixing in on passing downs in Bolden. So it's not just those two guys. You have the toughest schedule. You have, you know, Tennessee, Buffalo twice, Indianapolis, which is one of the best run defenses, and Jacksonville in, you know, week 17, which looks good on paper, but Jacksonville is actually one of the best teams in the league at limiting explosive run plays. So, you know, Belichick could come out throwing in that game. I mean, there's really not much to hang your hat on the rest of the way for Harris and Stevenson. And we don't know week to week, you know, who's going to be the guy. So I think, you know, coming off a game where they had positive game script, shutout, you know, both guys were able to get over double-digit carries. Both of their value is at least at a decent point. Whereas if they have, you know, tougher game script, you know, two games against Buffalo, Tennessee, who's only lost a few games, I mean, you could have both of them in single-digit carries.
Damian Harris for Jalen Waddle.
Waddle.
How about Harris for Javonte Williams?
Williams.
And Yates, I was looking to see if you smiled here again, because you might just agree again.
This is crazy. Yes, I have Ramondre Stevenson as my top sell high running back. And again, like on every episode so far this year, I'm like, is there really a top sell high running back? Because I want to hold on to them if I've got them. But you look at Ramondre Stevenson, and the public perception of him, I think, is one of these guys that is just truly going to break out and be a potential league winner down the stretch. And I just don't agree with that. This is still a situation here. I talked about it on the Friday show last week with Dan after the Thursday night game, saying, like, I wish we got clarity from this backfield, but we didn't. With the positive game script, Ramondre Stevenson getting the 12 carries to Damian Harris's 10 off the top of my head, you know, and Harris coming back right away off of the concussion protocol. Like, we just didn't get the clarity of what this backfield is going to look like moving forward. It's not going to be Ramondre Stevenson's backfield solely moving forward. You know, they're going to factor in. They're both going to be key pieces here. So if you can sell Ramondre Stevenson for another running back in that range, you alluded to some of the other, like a wide receiver. If I need a wide receiver, I can flip Ramondre Stevenson for Jalen Waddle. Like, yeah, I'm doing that in a heartbeat. I think you asked about Damian Harris, though. But like, that's the way that we need to kind of think about it, is being able to take Ramondre Stevenson and flip him for a more useful and reliable asset that has a higher ceiling.
And I do think it's worth noting that, and I'm certainly not the first person to make this point, but when you get to this point in the season, if you have a guy that we can pretty easily expect, if Damian Harris is out of the picture, he could be a league winner type, that if you are in position to make the playoffs, if you're 8-2 or 3 or I get the math of whatever week we're in at this point, if you're in a position where you're pretty clearly going to make the playoffs, I don't think it's unreasonable to be somebody who is trying to acquire Stevenson to say, listen, if I can get him on the, you know, even pay from some of my depth, the bye weeks are mostly behind us. You know, we can start thinking about, if Damian Harris does miss more time, this is a guy that could put me over the top. So I just want to make that caveat. But I also, obviously, it's totally fair, like a running back in a committee, in a Bill Belichick backfield, like that's obviously not super appealing. So Yates, Ramondre Stevenson for Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, I take Ayuk at this point.
How about Stevenson for Miles Sanders?
It's interesting. If it was, if Jordan Howard was fully healthy, I think I might be a little bit more hesitant to go out and acquire Miles Sanders. But I think that right now we can confidently make that trade to go for Ramondre Stevenson to Miles Sanders. That's making a tier jump for me.
Yates, let's stick with you as we move into receivers. Who is your top buy low wideout?
Yeah, there really wasn't a player that jumped out to me as like, this is a player that I think that you can go out there clearly because we're going to see his stock increase. But I wanted to talk about Michael Pittman Jr. because of my experience on the Sunday morning live stream. I got so many questions this week about Michael Pittman Jr. and how to value him going up against Buffalo, right? And people said it's a tough matchup with Indianapolis, and I just don't know about Michael Pittman Jr. And with Pittman, I think that he was in line for a solid day. It just, Jonathan Taylor just went wild. You know, it was one of those things where the tough matchup really didn't play a role in how I value Michael Pittman Jr. moving forward. It was just the fact that it was Jonathan Taylor's day, you know, and they didn't need Michael Pittman Jr. So if you are able to at least acquire Michael Pittman Jr. for a slightly lower amount than what you have been able to in the past, I think that if you are loading up for a deep playoff run, he is a perfect wide receiver too to have. I talked about him in the same tier as DeAndre Hopkins, you know, for the rest of the year. That's still how I'm viewing him. So he's someone that I am looking to acquire buy low if you can.
Now, don't quote me on this, but I believe last week Dan Harris had Pittman as a sell high on this show.
Of course he did.
Now, just 1 week later, you have him as a buy low. Obviously, everything is contextual depending on what you can actually trade him for or for him. But where do you think the disconnect is there besides the fact that just it's Dan?
Oh, I mean, it's Dan and I, and the way that we view Michael Pittman Jr., that's been the case this entire year, is that I am always higher on Pittman. He's always lower on him. So I think that's the way he's viewing it, is just if you could get that max value for someone that he doesn't have as much faith in as I do, then I think that's the way he was viewing it. But I've got a ton of faith in Pittman moving forward.
Would you trade Cordarrelle Patterson for Pittman?
It depends on if I'm using Patterson as a running back. If that's the case, I'll probably just hold on to Patterson as a running back, but same kind of tier.
How about AJ Brown and Michael Pittman for Tyreek Hill?
AJ Brown's injury kind of puts that into, I just don't know. I would probably make that move to go from AJ Brown right now with the injury question marks. He hasn't been producing as well as we hoped. And Michael Pittman Jr. did make that significant tier jump up to Tyreek Hill, but that's pretty close.
Chris, which receiver are you buying right now?
For me, it's Brandon Cooks. You know, I love Brandon Cooks, you know, the rest of the way. He's got one of the easier schedules for wide receivers, and he's been much more efficient with Tyrod Taylor. Now, people are going to say, wait a minute, Tyrod Taylor comes back. You know, last week, Brandon Cooks only has, you know, in Taylor's second game, just two catches. Well, that was maybe Houston's last win of the year. You know, they're not going to have too much positive game script, are the Texans. The game before that with Tyrod Taylor, they lost 17-9, and Cooks had 14 targets. He's had double-digit targets in, you know, four games already this season. He's averaging 5.9 catches per game this year for 66 yards. And I think that's only going to go up. I think you're buying him at a low point. He's coming off, you know, a game 2 weeks ago where a ton of targets, but just didn't get quite the production. Maybe you hoped only 6 for 56. And then he's coming off what may be Houston's last win, last positive game script game of the year. But again, you go back to looking at the routes run. That's what one thing you always want for an alpha wide receiver. Cooks is running a route on 95% of the dropbacks. That's been pretty consistent week in, week out. There's really nobody that's a target hog competing with him in that offense. Nico Collins is the number two wide receiver. Chris Conley and Danny Amendola are sharing wide receiver three duties. The tight ends are just, you know, it's just a three-way committee. No one really is a great pass catcher out of that group. And then the running backs really aren't getting too many targets either. So it's just a great situation to buy Brandon Cooks, who the underlying metrics are still fine. And remember, he had a huge down the stretch stretch run last year as well. And this is, you know, he's going to be motivated. He doesn't want to stay on Houston forever. So he's going to get to put up his numbers here. And he could lead the league in targets, target share down the stretch this year. So I wouldn't worry about him at all. Even if Tyrod Taylor is a low volume quarterback, it's still going to be, you know, close to double digit targets every week for Cooks.
Yeah. And he's a guy who's struggled with injuries in the past, but he's been relatively healthy this year as well, which is certainly nice to see if you manage him. On your roster, Javonte Williams for Brandon Cooks?
I would probably stay with Williams just because, again, running backs are more valuable. But if I was loaded at running back, like, I think Cooks is a little higher of a tier at wide receiver than Williams is at running back.
How about Cooks for A.J. Dillon?
You know, I would make that trade because you are going to get Aaron Jones back at some point. And I think Cooks is a more reliable every week wide receiver. Like, once Jones comes back, you know, you're just not going to know when to start. Like, he could still have big games, but you're just not going to know whether to start him, I think, on a week in, week out basis.
Yates, who's your sell high receiver?
I'm going to go with Mike Williams here. Now, it was encouraging to see Mike Williams pop off for a big game this past Sunday night, but the four games prior to week 11, Williams had just 10 combined receptions for 137 yards and zero touchdowns, and he had 5 for 97 and a touchdown in week 12. So you look at Mike Williams and the inconsistency. You look at his first half of the season, it was great, and then he's had some games where he has not performed well, and then he had this big game here. So I'm just looking to be able to take Mike Williams and flip him for a player that I know has a little bit more consistency, a player who is on the upward trend rather than Mike Williams, who I just don't know how to value him moving forward. So I'm looking to take these guys who I purely don't know, like the inconsistent players that, as I'm looking to make a deep playoff run, the guys that I can get off my roster where I don't want to have to worry about that as I set my lineup for my playoff week. I know what I'm going to get. So if I can take Mike Williams and flip him for a player who I have a little bit more confidence in, then I will absolutely do that right now.
Yeah, his first strong game since week 5. And it was sort of a fluky long touchdown late in the game to even salvage that day, 97 yards and a touchdown. Where would you rank him rest of the season? To me, he's one of the trickiest guys to rank, like, basically in the entire NFL right now.
I have had a hell of a time ranking Mike Williams this year in the accuracy competition. Every single week that I fade him, compared to consensus, he does well. And then every week that I'm like, all right, I'm going to buy in, he finishes outside the top 100 wide receiver. So it's been extremely difficult. I think he's a mid-range wide receiver 3. Someone that you kind of put into the same tier as maybe Tyler Lockett, like a guy who is just going to be inconsistent for your lineup. You don't know what you're going to get. He has upside, certainly, but I just don't know if I have complete confidence in him.
Would you sell him for Hollywood Brown?
I would, yeah. With Hollywood playing as well as he is recently, obviously, you know, we didn't see him this past week, but yeah, I have a lot of faith in Marquise Brown at this point. So yes, I will sell Mike Williams for Marquise Brown.
Which side would you prefer of Mike Williams and James Conner for Alvin Kamara?
The injury for Kamara certainly, you know, muddies the waters there a little bit. But in a vacuum, assuming that Kamara is coming back, I don't think he's coming back for Thanksgiving, but assuming that he comes back the next week, I will take Kamara for the deep, for the playoff run.
Chris, who's your sell high receiver?
Jarvis Landry for me. You know, coming off a game where he got a wildcat touchdown against the Detroit Lions. I think, you know, he's got at least some value in the eyes of his managers, but you look at the schedule down the stretch. He plays Baltimore twice. That's no easy matchup. Those could be just divisional slugfests, you know, low scoring games. He's got a bye in week 13. And then, you know, Vegas, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, you know, like not hard, tough matchups, but, you know, Jarvis Landry, even being Cleveland's number one wide receiver, it's not super valuable because Cleveland runs the ball so much. They're averaging, you know, under 30 pass attempts per game. They are, you know, 29th in, you know, tied for 29th in pass attempts per game at 29.4. Landry's been struggling with injuries. He's in and out of games. And even though he's been that, you know, number one receiver for Cleveland pretty much all year, I always like to look at the percentage of routes run per dropback because, you know, that's going to be extremely predictive going forward because targets per route run is predictive. And, you know, Landry's been in that, you know, low 80%, sometimes even lower than that in his, you know, routes run per dropback. And again, most alpha receivers, they're, you know, above 90%, you know, getting closer to 95, 100%. So Jarvis Landry's going to be out, you know, on the sideline, even as Cleveland's number one wide receiver on more plays than most. They're not throwing the ball a lot. He's struggling with injuries, and he's still got the bye and not a great schedule down the stretch.
Yeah, he did lead the Browns in targets on Sunday, but like you mentioned, like his receiving production at least certainly wasn't there. Four catches, 26 yards. He's somebody that I think of sort of similar to like we were discussing with Brandon Cooks as this target machine, this PPR monster, but that really hasn't been the case this season. Like you mentioned, he's only had over 10 PPR points once this season, and that was back in week one. So like he really has not been producing the entire year. This is sort of, you're trying to make a deal based on his reputation. What sort of deal do you think you can even swing for with Landry at this point?
I would just hope to include him. So pretty much anytime I'm making a trade, I'm almost always at this stage doing like a 2-for-1 or a 3-for-1. So I just hope he's like a sweetener with like another RB2 for me to get an RB1 or a wide receiver one or something like that. So like, you know, Landry plus DJ Moore to get me like, you know, like a Keenan Allen or, you know, something like that, like where I can just level up because, you know, somebody else is desperate for a playoff push and they just need the players that they can start every week versus like the stud. So, but, you know, coming off the big game, his value like might not be higher. Cause you know, he led the team in targets, still only had four catches, 26, but he did get that rushing touchdown. So, at least he had a decent, you know, decent looking, box score.
Landry for Michael Gallup straight up. Who would you prefer?
Gallup, you know, in that offense for the Cowboys, I know Gallup's the number three wide receiver, but he'll have a week, you know, maybe even two is that, you know, number one or number two guy. And then you're talking about Dak Prescott and the NFL's top offense versus, you know, Baker Mayfield, who's banged up and one of the league's lower volume offenses. So, yeah, give me Gallup.
How about Landry for Christian Kirk?
I'll still take Christian Kirk because, you know, Landry, even though he's that, again, that number one receiver, it hasn't led to that consistency, as you just pointed out. So I know I don't expect Kirk to be consistent, but he's played really well this year. And so I think the ceiling for Kirk is still higher in that Arizona offense.
Rest of season, risers and fallers.
Let's move to the rest of season rankings, which can help fans value both their own players and also players they are considering trading for or away. I want to start with you here, Chris. Who is your biggest riser in the rest of season running back rankings, and who is your biggest faller?
Riser, David Montgomery. Faller, Mike Davis.
And Montgomery obviously had some nice runs against the Ravens in Week 11. He didn't end up with that much of production, though. How high do you think he can finish in your rankings? He was obviously like a top five guy down the final stretch of 2020.
Yeah, I think he can be a top 10 guy going forward, and the reason is, you have to look at the underlying usage. You know, every game, you know, is not going to be exactly what we want. That's why we kind of play this game. You know, it's all about variance and kind of sorting out, you know, who's going to continue to play well going forward or who might have some value that we haven't realized yet. And Montgomery came back from injury. His first game back, he played 85% of the snaps. Last week, 95% of the snaps. So the only concern with Montgomery, you know, once he got hurt, was that, oh no, you know, Khalil Herbert's playing well. When Montgomery comes back, is he going to come back to that same workload that made him a star down the stretch last season, or is it going to be more of a 50-50, 60-40 thing because Herbert played so well? Well, it's not going to be that because the guy just played 95% of the snaps last week. So, again, you know, not a ton to show for it. 15 touches, 67 yards, no touchdowns, but the underlying usage was there, and that's all you're looking for at running back. There's not too many guys in this league at that position that are going to get that many snaps.
I know you're a fan of Deontay Johnson. Would you trade him for David Montgomery?
Yeah, I think you have to because running back is more valuable, and they're both in that, you know, same like, you know, high end, number two starter tier. So yeah, I would make that move.
Is Mike Davis even rosterable at this point?
No, that's kind of the point. Like, so last week I think, you know, because Patterson was out and because, you know, we hadn't really seen Allison active too much. There's a quote saying, hey, Gallman just got work because of the blowout. Davis was still like a high end RB3 in my rank. Like, I think he was like RB25 or 26 or something like that. So, you know, like you still had to kind of look at him as a guy you could start last week. And once again, not only did he play extremely poorly, but he wasn't even the best running back on the team with Patterson out. Like, that's a problem. Like, it seems like anybody they put in at third string has just as good a game as Mike Davis. He had 3 carries for 1 yard and 3 catches for 20 yards. He's averaging 3.2 yards per carry and 5 yards per catch this season. 3.6 yards per touch. I mean, that is just abysmal. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a healthy scratch at some point once Patterson gets back. So yeah, he just needs to be off everyone's rosters.
One trade that was made is Mike Davis for Laviska Shenault. I assume you take the Shenault side.
Yeah, you take the Shenault side because at least Shenault's still like a year two, you know, kind of, I mean, maybe it's too late to say breakout kind of guy, but he's a guy that I think they're interested in showcasing down the stretch and seeing what he can do. He gets rushing attempts. He is an explosive guy, hasn't quite put it all together versus a guy in Mike Davis who is 28 years old, you know, has, you know, over, you know, close to 700 career touches. We know what he is at this point. I think Arthur Smith would be best served, you know, keep riding with Patterson and then getting a look at Allison and even Gallman.
And obviously with Shenault, you know, now Jamal Agnew out for the year. So he there's just that many more opportunities.
Like, that's what it's come to. Like, oh, Jamal Agnew's out for the year. That should open up some targets. It's true, though. I loved Agnew before. Like, yeah. He was like in my top 50 these last few weeks. So I did like me some Jamal Agnew. But yeah, it's been a frustrating year for Shenault as well. But Mike Davis, just get him out of here.
Can't blame you for that. Yates, how about you? Which running backs are on the move in your rest of season rankings?
Yeah, CEH is on the rise. When he came back from injury, I had major questions about what this split was going to look like with Daryl Williams, who had played very, very well in his absence. And so I was curious about what the split was going to look like, and we got that clarity. We got the clarity that CEH is the guy in this backfield. So he went from RB25 to RB20 in my running back rankings. And then as far as a faller, it's just a slight downgrade here, but that's Elijah Mitchell. Just the health here is a little bit of concern. He goes from RB17 to RB21. So just availability is kind of the big thing here with Elijah Mitchell. Just takes a slight tumble down my running back rankings.
So it's fitting since they're 20 and 21 now in your rest of season rankings. So I'll sort of ask the same question for both of you. How high do you think the ceiling is for them this year? If they reach their potential, whatever you are expecting to see from them in a best case scenario, they would be RB what for you by the end of the season?
I think with CEH, like, best case scenario, I mean, he's in the offense. He has the talent to be a top 12 guy. That's why we were talking about him in that territory. I didn't have him inside my top 12 pre-draft, but he was in that conversation, right? And so I think top 12 guy for CEH. Elijah Mitchell, I just don't know if the offense, the usage there, the availability, the receiving work, I just don't know if that's there to push him into the top 12, but maybe top 15.
So, I mean, Mitchell obviously, like, didn't play this week. So do you not think he'll, because he's been kind of the guy in the backfield when he's been healthy. So you don't think that's going to continue?
No, I do think it will. But I do think we'll see Jeff Wilson factor in a little bit. But then it really is just like, even if Elijah Mitchell does play, he's been banged up so far this year. Like, it's just a confidence and availability thing with Elijah Mitchell. That's why I have him taking a slight tumble down rankings.
How about CEH for Latavius Murray and Devontae Smith?
I'll take the CEH side of that.
What about CEH straight up for David Montgomery?
I would probably take David Montgomery. I've got him higher in the rest of the season rankings.
How about Elijah Mitchell and Emmanuel Sanders for Noah Fant and Antonio Gibson?
I'll take the Gibson side of that.
Chris, who's your biggest riser at wide receiver and your biggest faller?
So biggest riser, Elijah Moore. Biggest faller, Mecole Hardman.
Now, Moore obviously has sort of come on a bit in the last couple of weeks. I'm sure that's why he's your biggest riser. Where would he rank for you among rookie wide receivers over the final six or seven games of the season?
Among rookies, I think he's got to be right there behind Devontae Smith. Rashad Bateman is obviously in that conversation as well. Oh, yeah, but obviously Ja'Marr Chase is number one. So I should say, Ja'Marr Chase is just he's in top five every week. You don't even think about him.
I don't think anybody was assuming you weren't.
Okay, just wanted to get that out of the way. But no, I think he's challenging, after Chase, after Smith. I'm not missing anyone else, right? Of those high-end starters.
Jalen Waddle. You could argue.
Oh, and Waddle. Okay, yeah. So after, those three guys, definitely. Then it's kind of, is it Bateman? Is it Moore? I think he's right there after those guys. And the reason he rose is because what we saw over these last few weeks was, he's getting six targets, in six-plus targets in four games before last week, And he got a touchdown in week 7 against New England. He got 67 yards and 6 catches. The next week against Cincy, then 7 for 84 and 2 touchdowns. Then 3 for 44 and a touchdown, right? But each of those weeks, you looked at his underlying usage and you worried a little bit. Can he keep it up? Because here are his snap counts, in the games prior to last week. 57%, 36%, 60%, 56%. So you kind of say, oh no, things don't go perfectly, this guy's not going to, keep producing at this level. Last week, 80% snaps. So he's clearly the best receiver on the New York Jets. Now he's getting the snaps, whereas before, these last 4 weeks before that, he was playing behind Keelan Cole. Keelan Cole was getting more snaps than Elijah Moore. So now that that's kind of sorted out, and his snap count is trending up because he started the year 86 and 78, and it just didn't quite work out. It was a little too soon for him, I think, and it just didn't play well. But going forward, I think, he's going to be on the field. They have no reason not to have him on the field. And even when he wasn't on the field a ton, he's been super productive. It kind of reminds me of, Odell Beckham's first few games where he wasn't playing every snap and he was still just putting up numbers each and every week. There's a outside shot that Elijah Moore just keeps doing this, for the rest of the season. So, love him.
Elijah Moore and Jared Cook for TJ Hockenson.
I would just take the Moore side. I would probably just drop Cook, but, at this point, TJ Hockenson hasn't been consistent enough to, and it's not like he's a good threat for a touchdown every week because the Lions don't throw touchdowns. So yeah, just give me Elijah Moore. Maybe I can get a wide receiver one, finish the rest of the year or something like that. High upside finish. Whereas Hockenson, he's kind of a 6 catch, 55 yard guy.
You mean you don't believe in Tim Boyle?
Who?
How about Elijah Moore for Cam Newton in a super flex league?
Give me Elijah Moore because I like selling on Cam Newton actually, and I love Cam Newton. That's my dude. I picked him up in a bunch of leagues, and so I'm started him in cash games and DraftKings last week. But he only threw for under 200 yards. He was terrible as a passer last year. Carolina wants to run. They got a bye still coming up. Miami's defense has actually been better, so who knows if this isn't the high mark of Cam's statistics, for this production for the season. Washington is just not a very good defense. They were decimated. He puts up 25, 26 fantasy points. That might be his high watermark going forward. So, I'd still take more.
And just quickly on Hardman, is this just a usage issue?
Yes. Hardman was their number two wide receiver for much of the season. And then all of a sudden, he's been demoted to their number five wide receiver. Josh Gordon ran more routes than Mecole Hardman last week. Byron Pringle's been doing it week in, week out, but I'll give you the routes run per dropback last week. So we had Tyreek Hill, 91%, Byron Pringle, 66%, DeMarcus Robinson, 52%, Josh Gordon, 39%, Mecole Hardman, 18%. And maybe you say, okay, that's a one-game blip, right? Maybe. Okay, let's go back to the week before. Tyreek Hill, 80%. Remember, it was a little bit of a blowout. So Tyreek Hill, 80%. Byron Pringle, 67%. DeMarcus Robinson, 45%. Josh Gordon, 39%. And in fifth place, again, Mecole Hardman, 33%. So Josh Gordon, it's troubling that Josh Gordon, who has done absolutely nothing, and DeMarcus Robinson, who has made a career of doing absolutely nothing, are both now getting more snaps than Mecole Hardman. Like, that, I mean, it's not like you were starting him consistently even before that, more like a bye week guy. But I mean, there was a stretch where he was getting, you know, four or five catches every week in the middle of the season. And he was Kansas City's number two receiver running a route, you know, 70% of the time, which with Mahomes is still valuable. And now he's just not playing.
Yeah, not just fifth in that offense, but a distant fifth at this point. Yates, who's your biggest riser and biggest faller at fantasy's deepest position?
I got to give a shout out here to Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin goes from wide receiver 18 to wide receiver 9. Even when Antonio Brown comes back into the lineup, which we still don't exactly know when that's going to be, I have zero concerns about Godwin. He is just so, so good. So Chris Godwin all the way back up to wide receiver 9. And then for me as a faller is Mr. Moneybags himself, Cortland Sutton. Cortland Sutton taking a drop from wide receiver 30 to 37. Seeing that they are invested in Tim Patrick moving forward, and just this offense. I mean, Sutton has done next to nothing with Jerry Jeudy back in the lineup. So Sutton takes a tumble from 30 to 37.
Yeah, I even wrote down, like, how could Sutton be a faller? Did the Broncos not give him enough money with their long extension? But I get that there's too many mouths to feed and you know, somewhat a lack of confidence in the quarterback. That all makes sense. Godwin, you know, you picked him before they played last night. Did you see anything last night that confirmed your opinion, or just you already knew going in he's going to be a top 10 guy the rest of the season?
Yeah, I actually picked him like halfway through the game. So it was after the touchdown, I was like, yeah, I know, you know, lock it in. Like, I know that Chris Godwin is just going to be dominant here moving forward. I mean, I feel the way that I approach fantasy football is the guys who are inconsistent. And it's the reason why I talk about Mike Williams as a sell. Like, the guys who are so inconsistent, I just don't want to deal with that as like cornerstones of my fantasy roster. But the guys who are so consistent week in and week out, who bring an incredibly safe floor, those are the guys that I want as key pieces to my roster. And that's what Chris Godwin is. So as far as a consistent guy who I can rely on as a wide receiver one, that's what I want. And so that's the way I'm approaching it. Chris Godwin, wide receiver 9, rest of season rankings.
Well, let me give you a comparison that I've asked you about this guy like 3 times already today. Chris Godwin for Elijah Mitchell.
Chris Godwin. Easy for me.
How about Cortland Sutton for Tyler Higbee if you need a tight end?
Oh, I will take Tyler Higbee if I need a tight end, but I'm betting that the Los Angeles Rams offense is going to bounce back, which, you know, Chris and I are both saying that it will. Yeah, I think Cortland Sutton at this point, when are you going to feel confident playing him? So, yeah, I'll take the shot on a tight end if I need one.
Sutton for Josh Jacobs.
I'll take Jacobs there. Jacobs has not been getting the amount of work on the ground that we thought he was going to, but he's at least providing value in full PPR formats, which that is just the wackiest storyline of 2021. But yeah, I think Josh Jacobs, I'll take him, especially because of the need at running back.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Only time for one mailbag question this week. It comes from @badatfantasy, which is just very fitting. It's a simple question. Is Ryan Tannehill droppable? Chris, what do you think?
Yes. Tennessee has not put up production on offense since Derrick Henry went out. It just makes Tannehill's life tougher. And you're talking about Jones being on the shelf and now potentially AJ Brown. I mean, what is this offense here? This could be one of the league's worst offenses for the rest of the season.
Yates?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that you just have to move on from Ryan Tannehill at this point in redraft. I had to start him last week in a dynasty league, and that did not feel great watching the 4 interceptions. So, yeah, I think you just got to move on from Ryan Tannehill if there's a better option available.
I started him in a dynasty super flex league, so that was fun.
He puts the die in dynasty.
Yeah,
seriously. But before we wrap up another terrific episode, you know I have to ask Yates a TV question in his return to one of my episodes. Yates, I'm putting you on the spot here because I gave you 0 advanced warning for today's question, which apparently Dan Harris hates. So hopefully you can perform better than he does when I put him on the spot. What I want from you here is your top 3 sitcom characters of all time.
Oh, top 3 sitcom characters? Ron Swanson has to be at the top. I will go with... Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother at number 2. Number three. You know what? I'll throw a wild card out there. I'll go Neil Caffrey from White Collar.
Wow. Kind of an upset that there's no Michael Scott on that list.
Yeah, because I know
people are going to yell at us if we don't mention him.
I know.
Him.
Yeah.
Chris, I don't know if you're a sitcom guy or not, but if you'd like to weigh in, the floor is yours.
Sure. I mean, I would put Dwight from The Office in the top three. Will Smith from Fresh Prince. And third one, probably George from Seinfeld.
I think George is another guy that absolutely has to be on the list no matter what. Ooh. Everybody here at Fantasy Pros will be very happy that you said that. He would be on my list. I would probably go Michael Scott. And then I would go Abed from Community because Kyle knows that I love Community even though he has never seen it, which is very unfortunate. Thank you guys both for that. And thank you both for a fantastic episode today. I'm certainly hoping that everyone comes away just a little bit smarter. Please, everybody, remember all the awesome opportunities we mentioned, including Owner's Box with the promo code Drew9 and Pristine Auction with promo code FantasyPros. Most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening. For Yates and Chris, I'm Ryan. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.